Prep Hour is back. It's been a while, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. Coming up next.
Hi, I'm Peter.
I'm Marcus.
And I'm Mark.
And you're listening to Prep Hour.
It's been a while, I know, since we've all been together, but one of the topics that I think we fought with, and I'm going to kind of give a little context here. As teachers, we've fought the cell phone issue quite a bit, and because of cell phones, they had access to social media and all those kinds of things. Well, recently, Arizona school districts are currently suing social media companies alleging harm to kids. And it's not just one or two small school districts. It's pretty good size. In fact, the largest school district in the state is actually suing. So it's Tolleson Union, Tempe Union, Tempe L, Kyrene Elementary, Mesa Public Schools, which is the largest school district in the state, Scottsdale Unified, Paradise Valley Unified, Phoenix Union, and Chandler Public Schools and Sunnyside. And allegedly, they're after. They're going after TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, alleging the social media companies have knowingly contributed to a mental health crisis among their students and forced them to divert resources to address it. And a lot of it has to do with the rise in counseling dealing with suicide and other mental health issues, which obviously drain school districts for resources that can be used elsewhere. So this is obviously an ongoing issue. I know for me personally, this touches home a little bit because we have a family member who is, I think, was impacted heavily by TikTok during COVID. So what do you guys think? Do you think there's some validity to this? Do you think, I think it's an interesting move by the school districts that are suing. My thing is, where are the parents on this?
Is this going to be the same thing as when kids were committing suicide in the 80s and they blamed the rise of Satanism due to Judas Priest albums, and they parents were out burning Judas Priest albums saying it's the heavy metal music that is causing our kids to have. Did they say? I didn't read the article, so I don't. I'm just going off of what you're.
Well, it's an interesting phenomenon because I do think there is a comparison there. I'll just pull additional research out. You know, Pew Research in 2022 found over half of teens would be hard to give up social media, and nearly 20% of teens use YouTube almost constantly. So going back to your analogy, I listen to that music. I don't felt like I had to go home or I was ever addicted to it. We'd mess around with it, but there's so many other distractions that weren't based on an algorithm or a like or whatever else that I think I see the comparison, but I think it's quite different.
First of all, I'm surprised that school districts are going on the offensive about something like that. Like, that kind of surprises me a little bit. But the second thing I would say is I think that it's warranted to go after social media companies, but from this perspective, okay? So we just had a lockdown at my school on Wednesday, last Wednesday. And the reason why we had a lockdown is because, and this was sent out to the community, so I'm not sharing anything that I can't. The student ran down the hallway yelling things he shouldn't have been yelling. And so teachers threw the school on a lockdown. The Gilbert PD had to come in and sweep the school and everything like that. It was a TikTok challenge, right? And so, like, to me, like, that's like, yes, you have the mental health issue that when kids are on social media too much and, you know, it causes them to have mental health issues or it makes it worse. To me, like, some of the like challenges that they have on there that like kids actually go out and do. To me, like, that's the kind of stuff like they definitely need to be held accountable for cracking down on. And they're not removing those videos, or they're allowing them to get uploaded and not removing them in time. I don't know.
Isn't it weird if you challenge a kid to read or vote, they don't, but if you challenge them to make a bomb threat at a school, they'll do it.
It's bizarre.
Well, and going back to a TikTok challenge, August 27th, a Tucson boy was severely burned in an ICU after he tried to participate in a TikTok challenge. Around 5 a.m. on August 27th, Tiffany Roper was sleeping when she heard a scream from her 12-year-old boy. He was on fire from a TikTok challenge.
So how does this, I don't, maybe I'm obtuse, but I don't, how is that leading to mental health illness among all kids? I mean, these challenges have been around for, before TikTok, pranks and to do things like that. I don't
know about like that case, but like the case of where you then throw your school into a lockdown. Like, I mean, the implications of everyone going under a lockdown that is assumed real, like students do have a hard time with that. So I think in that case, it does affect like a lot of students' mental health. I do see your point though. Like if it's something that's like off school or off campus, it's not going to cause the whole community to freak out. You know what I mean? I don't know.
And how is it different? I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, absolutely.
How would it be different saying we're going to ban TikTok and your access to this stuff, saying it's affecting your emotional state of mind? What's the difference between banning that and also saying, well, we're not going to have you read these books because we don't think you're ready to read them?
Well, I go back to
the question.
It's a good, really good question. I was thinking about it. Like, I'm thinking just from the book bans are, they don't want them to be exposed to something they're not ready. You know, whether it's LGBT, whether it's, some sort of sexual explicit content, whatever it may be. The social media platforms, I think, from what I interpret, is more of a dependence. Enforcing and what you just said, the number of likes that kids are, you know, searching for, especially in junior high, that kind of thing. It's not a healthy platform for students at that age because they're so impressionable. I mean, I'm not a psychologist here, but that's kind of what I gather.
Well, yeah. And I said I'm playing devil's advocate. No, only for the fact that, and I've had this discussion with my wife, and I've gone on to Facebook and written out, hey, I'm taking a break from Facebook, or I'm done with Facebook. It's toxic as fuck, and I just don't want to do it anymore. And every time I do that, people will reach out and say, hey, is everything okay? You know, blah, blah, blah. People are aware of it. Kids are aware of it. I just learned that if you want to ask for help without asking for help, you go on Instagram or Snap or whatever, and you let everybody know I'm taking a break from Snapchat. Mm-hmm. And then that's kind of code for something's wrong with Timmy. If you're doing that and there's something wrong, I think there's definitely something causing, I don't know, anxiety or depression, because when I'm on social media, I get depressed. Like but I'll do it. I'm addicted to it. I'll go on it and I'll be on it for hours.
And you're an adult.
And I'm an adult. And it doesn't fill me with joy. And I don't know what it is. It's not FOMO. It's not fear of missing out, because I'm like, I go do cool stuff too, blah, blah, blah. I don't post it all over the place. But for some odd reason, when I'm scrolling through, I get a sense of, I don't know what it is. It's almost despair. On it, like, I don't know. It's a very strange feeling. Whereas my wife is on it, she's like, I don't feel any of that. I like to see what everybody else is doing. And for some odd reason, when I get off Instagram, I feel terrible, and I don't know why. And I think kids are also feeling this. And I think they need to start. I don't know about suing them or whatever, but I think they need to start really looking at why is that causing anxiety in people.
Well, I mean, I'll quickly intercept on that. Having two kids now in college, I think a lot of it has to do with, where's our self-esteem coming from? Is it something that's tangible? Is it joining the club? Is it playing in the band? Is it cheerleading? Is it, you know, playing a sport? Whatever it is that you're doing, that's where they're earning their self-esteem. So the social media sites, I would assume, don't have as big an impact. However, if you're a child who's unfortunately not involved for whatever reason, they're going to look for some sort of affirmation, especially, you know, adolescent kids. And if they're not getting that affirmation at school, either academically, socially, you know, through tangible relationships, where else are they going to go? In the old days, it was drugs and alcohol and things like that, right? Now it's social, and it still might be that, but now they're using these, you know, whether it's TikTok or whatever else, for some sort of self-esteem ailment that they have. I mean, again, that's kind of my hypothesis on this. That's kind of what I'm thinking. But I'm, and, well, and again,
have you looked at the comments on when your kid posts something? It's, if you look at an adult's comments, it'll be, oh my gosh, I can't believe your kids are getting that big, or
right.
Oh, what, I want to go to Italy one day too, blah, blah, blah. And if you look at, like, I've looked at my daughter's, everything is fire emoji. Mm-hmm. You're so pretty. Mm-hmm. I love you. I miss you. You're so pretty. I miss you. I love you. You're pretty. You're pretty. You're so cute. It's all about how you look.
And that's just, it. That's just it. It's not intrinsic at all. You know, it's not what you've earned or what you've done, where you feel that sense of self. And obviously your kids play sports and do other things where I don't think your kids probably get a whole lot of juice from social media. Mm-hmm. You know, it literally is just that, hey, what's everybody doing? I'm not looking for likes. I'm just here to look, see what people are doing.
Even with her friends, nobody asked in Instagram. Was it Instagram? I think it was Instagram. Like, it was a picture of her in Italy, and nobody asked,
where are you?
Where are you in Italy? Right. Are you having a good time? Is the pizza really as good as they say it is? Right. Like, there's none of that discussion on those platforms.
So I wonder, like, my brain's going in two different directions here with that. Perhaps one of it's just because they're just younger, right? They don't have maybe some of them have in-depth conversations, but maybe that's just more the level of conversation that they're at. Or here's the other thing too. I think maybe you're getting at a deeper issue of what happened where, I'm not going to say our generation because we have two different generations here, but three different generations. But what happened between, like, all of us who didn't, like, I didn't even grow up with social media until high school. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a thing until high school. What happened societally between us and then the students and kids now, right? Like, that they're interacting with social media differently than we're interacting with social media. Like, what's going on with that? If that's what maybe you're getting at.
I think I'm getting at it's fake. It's just completely fake.
Do you know what I'm saying?
But, like, yeah, is that Instagram's fault? Is that Instagram fault that my daughter's friends just say, you're so pretty, you're so pretty, you're so pretty?
Right. And obviously, like, if we can show that our Instagrams aren't full of that kind of thing and theirs are, like, okay, so what happened then? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
That's the question.
Well, and again, I look at my wife's class, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, on Instagram, I believe it was Instagram, they paired up girls and boys in the classroom, and certain kids weren't paired up. Mm-hmm. And guess who went off? The parents did.
Yeah.
Because they felt it was a form, you know, it was almost ad hoc bullying because certain kids weren't paired up. And the fact that, you know, parents found out, and it somehow became my wife's problem, even though she didn't obviously have anything to do with it. And I think that's kind of where some of this stems from, is how it crosses lines between schools and the home. Mm. And I know you can't, there's a lot of Supreme Court cases that say, you know, in loco parentis. And I think social media has something to do with that as well. And how much responsibility do schools have in that venue? I don't know.
They could just, I guess you just ban it on the campus.
How?
Well, you can block sites.
You can block, yeah.
Well, not on their phones, though. I don't know how you do
it. We block it at our school. It was more for security measures, but you cannot access TikTok on our campus.
Even on your cell phone?
You can if you're using data, but if you're using the school Wi-Fi. You can't get on it.
Right.
I've tried, trust me, even during class because I was bored and I wanted to watch some dance videos.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
no, it's an interesting question.
I don't know what schools see. This is another thing where I think schools are just like, how much more can you put on teachers? Of like, now we've got to monitor their mental well-being on social media sites. I'm like, I just want to teach economics and get to know my students and not raise them to be right
and not to be a dick. But yet we're groomers. But seriously, they're going to throw this shit on us, and yet they're charging us with all these other issues. I find that's the hypocrisy.
And then we have to be the moral compass.
All this. And that's what, Pete, you just walked into it for me. That's what kills me about this. When I read this, I'm like, are you kidding me? I was just like, how are teachers going to monitor this? You've thrown enough social issues. And this is just, I mean, this is my argument. This is, to me, to a degree, this is a parent problem or a parent failure. Everything that comes on a school's porch, problems like these, these are societal issues and parental issues in many instances. And hopefully, you know, we trust our schools to do the right thing, and 99% of the time they do. But again, I think this is another one of those issues where the hypocrisy just blows me away.
So what should these schools do? Do you think they should sue? I mean, is
right, that's quite, what do is we do
TikTok
then?
And Instagram and Mark Zuckerberg and I don't know who owns TikTok, some Chinese company.
Chinese company.
I don't know. Like, you're, you know, the benefit versus the cost. They're not going to give up billions of dollars in ad revenue because of, you know, they don't care.
Yeah, and again, it's negotiating how you're going to deal with it, in my opinion, more than banning it or getting rid of it.
Well, if it's becoming a health issue, then you have to get government involved.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have government coming in and in a free society dictating who gets what information and how and who can say what.
And a lot of
well, I mean, to an extent, right? Like there are things that you can't post online. You can get in trouble for, right? If you're going to make an active threat to a building or to a group of people, like you're going to get a knock on your door. You can. Right. Like you can't say, I'm going to blow up the, I don't want to say, you know, you can't say, but
you know, if you're a girl and you're going to school and you know, you're like, okay, I'll just avoid these girls mm-hmm. or guys. Or if you're a boy going to school, I'm going to avoid these girls and guys because they bully me or make mm-hmm. me feel bad about myself. They find you online. Like,
yeah.
And these kids who are getting bullied refuse to just say, well, I'll just be off Snapchat. Like, it's yeah. weird. It's
well, and I guess, again, like, I guess I'm referring to something different. Like, I'm okay, referring I'm to, and I think that's, we really do have two issues here. Like, I don't know how you regulate social media to address, like, the mental health issues that our teenagers are, and even children, not even teenagers, are experiencing. Like, and whether that's they're addicted to it or they're, you know, it's the, you mentioned FOMO earlier, like, all those things, like, that are causing depression, anxiety, or potentially causing it. I don't know how you address that. And I don't know that banning, I don't know how you would ban, like you can't ban those things because like you said, we're a free market. But when it comes to like the challenges where kids are going to then go and do something or say something that could, that is perceived as a threat to a group of people or to an institution, mm-hmm. like I do think I'm all for that stuff needs to be cracked down on. I don't know any other way other than going after the social media companies because
yeah.
I don't know how you regulate on an individual basis.
Well, that many videos.
I don't know. How do you and I don't know how that's, that. I don't know if it's feasible.
I know I watch them and they'll say like, you can't say the word porn.
Okay.
In TikTok that, yeah. you know, they'll use,
I don't do TikTok.
They'll say corn or they'll just say P word.
Yeah.
And people know what yeah. they're talking about because they'll bounce your video.
Gotcha.
And then you got to repost it. But then some people are like, oh, they'll bounce that. But then there's a picture of some lady selling her porn videos right. on there.
Right.
So right. it's very odd. Like who gets bounced and who doesn't? Like yeah. how do they know that what these kids are doing is instigating, you know, pranks? I put that in quotes. It's not yeah. really a good prank. You know, making bomb threats. I don't right. know. And then how do you find these people who started it? And then how do you, if it's some kid in Lithuania
well, I mean,
who started it, how do you?
Well, I mean, they can, because they'll trace things back to who start. I mean, look at like.
So the Mesa Police Department's going to fly out to Lithuania and.
No, but you can, like, I'm pretty sure there are ways to block that stuff from getting into the United States. Is there not? I don't know.
Man, you sound like communist Chinese government.
I'm just saying. Well, I mean, think like, let's like zoom out, like big picture.
Yeah,
we sat here and talked about January 6th, like sitting at this table, and where did a lot of that get spread around? It was on social yeah. media, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I think the federal government has every right to go in and arrest those people for their actions that they posted, you know, on yeah. social media.
Absolutely.
For. And I think it's kind of the same thing. Like, you, if you're going to post things that are going to cause people to hurt themselves or whatever, like, I do think that that's grounds for at least removal. I don't know, but I get, like you said, I don't know how you force companies to regulate that. Like, I don't know how that works. So,
well, I mean, I don't have an answer to that because I think it's,
I don't know.
Yeah. The genie's out of the bottle, you know, and
well, that's part of the problem.
Yeah, totally. And let's just be clear for the record. January 6th, that was just a march. Peaceful march.
It was a march. Very fine people on both sides.
That's right. Very good. But I think what you're left with and you guys may agree or disagree, is I think it comes down to educating people, you know, and I think I look again, we were hardly the perfect parents, but having both of us as teachers, the one thing we did have our radar on was social media and cell phones. And I think I used to say this in a day where you could actually get away with it. I was more worried about a cell phone than I was a gun, with the damage it can do in my classroom. Just kids not paying attention. Because the reality of it is, there are a lot more access to cell phones, social media sites. The reality of it is, and we can still say this, of a shooter coming on campus is still pretty minute, but social media and cell phones are all over our campus.
So do we just get rid of cell phones on campus?
I go back to that. 12. I think you've got to have some sort of regulation.
Parents will shit.
They will. Yeah, you know, and I think that's kind of where I was going to. You know, again, Pete, I'll go back to you because I think you were kind of the instigator at Highland with the cell phone pockets. I look back and I go the 2 years that I did that with Fidelity. Kids hate it in the beginning, but I think there was a sense of relief. I think
we've talked about that. Where I kids really could blame me for not being on the phone.
Exactly. Exactly. Tawny's the asshole. Coach Redemus is the asshole. Whatever. And I think there was a sense of relief. And the funny thing was, they engaged. And you know what else it did? My classroom was a better place.
Yes.
They socially spoke with each other. So guess what? Maybe you might minimize some of that social bullying that goes on. Because let's be honest, most of the stuff you would not say to one's face. You're going to say it online. You're much more likely to say it online. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it. Again, it falls on the schools once again.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they need to get their act together. And they need to get research. And I think these social media companies, maybe instead of suing them, they should be, or maybe they've just expired. Maybe they have done this. I don't know, but maybe they should work with them more of
partner with them.
Hey, maybe you should put an ad up of, hey, this is TikTok saying you shouldn't be on this at school and, you know, join your school and putting your phone away when you're there and learning stuff and become an engineer and work for us. You know,
certainly.
I mean, I know that stuff is dumb, but you know, we had the celebrities that would come out and say no to drugs. Right, you know, okay, it's cheesy. It's, as the kids would say, cringe. But at the same time, hey man, we need your help, social media companies. Like, you need to be on our side with this. Like, because honestly, I think the only answer is to get rid of cell phones on campus.
But parents
will not.
I agree. But I look at it. I know it's probably a bigger lift or a heavier lift. I go back to school uniforms too. A lot of people don't like school uniforms.
Ooh.
Right. My kids
talk about communism.
I'm not for school uniforms.
But I've said it 8 million times. And my kids who wore uniforms for 4 years, or my daughter wore them for 6, she will tell you, and they both will tell you, when I put that uniform on, that was my job. I'm going to school. That was their job. And because that's what I told them, they finally, and my daughter even said towards the end, she was, as a senior, she was kind of pissed off about it, that the dress code had been so lax compared to when she first went there. My point being, it's dress code, I think, is a bigger lift. I think cell phones, if you really want to get a hold of Marcus Hire at school, you're going to be able to get a hold of him. Yeah. You know, okay, here, you can have your phone back. There's a lockdown. There's an actor's. I don't know, a teacher would say, no, you can't have it.
Yeah.
You know, and the other part is, they're safe, we think, at least temporarily. And you know where they are. That's the other part. So what are you going to do with them anyway? I think what you're saying, I think you're onto something.
Well, if you want to know where they are, just put an AirTag on their lapel.
Right. Right. Life 360.
Yeah.
Just use Life 360 and know exactly where they are. So.
I do really like your point about partnering with those companies. I think we don't leverage private industry enough.
No.
Honestly, like we kind of do this weird thing where we're like, we're education and nothing else like applies to us.
Yeah.
And that's so wrong on so many levels and in so many ways. And in this case, I think that's actually not a bad idea. And maybe, like you said, maybe the people have looked into that, but you've just got me thinking now, like, I bet there are ways that we could work with.
Yeah.
Companies.
All right. You guys got anything else?
No, I guess let's just end it. What have you guys been doing the last several months?
Since like what?
Since the last time
March?
When was the last time we did this?
TikTok.
You guys want to care to share?
Working, traveling.
I went to Germany and went to Italy over the summer.
Yeah.
With my familia.
Nice.
It was great. Yeah. We went to Lago di Garda, the Lake Garda in Italy, next to Lake Cuomo.
That's cool. I just had my sister-in-law just went to Lake Cuomo.
Yeah.
You?
Did you go? I've traveled quite a bit. Yeah. I went to Italy over spring break, went to Lake Cuomo. Yeah. But we went north to south. It was a student trip. And then I travel all the time to the Northwest and stuff like that. So I've been busy.
Yeah.
And then just work. Yeah.
Yeah. Buddy's a little pissed right now, but I went to.
That's the dog.
Right.
That's the dog.
I travel a little bit myself. It was nice. It's certainly nice. It's always nice to get out of the country and see other places, but sometimes there's no place like home either. So, Yeah. Buddy agrees too.
Buddy, I don't think it's picking up the growl.
All right.
Yeah. That's all right. Buddy, what do you think? We should just have Buddy in the show.
Right.
Ubu, sit Ubu. Sit.
That was after Family Ties, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. Or Cheers?
Cheers, one of the two.
One of those, yeah. I don't know. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us today. I don't think we found any answers, but it was an interesting topic to discuss. And maybe something, if you're an administrator listening or a teacher, you might want to bring up with your administration of what do we need to do with... Oh!
That one they might have heard.
Buddy's pissed. What do we need to do with our cell phones? Until next time, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Not on TikTok yet. We'll start learning some dances and we'll be on there soon. Until next time, stay curious.